Thank you, Pastor Ryan. And I just am a joy. It's a joy to be back in the home church. I feel like this is my American church because I was here for so long. And now I've gone back to New Zealand and continue the work that God gave me to do. I always think, why was I born? What is God giving me to do? And where will I go when I die? That's what we ask the Indians. And I believe that God has a purpose for every life, that life is precious and that life is wonderful if we know Jesus. And I wouldn't have got this far without my Jesus. He has strengthened me. He has helped me. He has been my rock. He's been my fortress and my high tower, my strong arm, everything. He's been my provision, everything. And I just thank him for everything. I've got a notice on my fridge. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm blessed. And I want to thank Phil and Marty for hosting me and for this church to invite me again. And I thank you very much. And I feel it's a privilege at my age to still be traveling and still be in the work of the Lord. And yes, it's just wonderful. I've had a struggle physically because I had 3 strokes 5 years ago. But as the doctor said, I could have been on my back and I could have been, that was curtains for me. But I know I would have been with Jesus. And people were praying for me and sort of thinking that I was dying, but the Lord saw differently. He said, you've not finished yet. You've got a work to do yet. And you're here this morning, you're breathing, so you've got a work to do. God is not finished with you. Did you know that it's World Missions Day today? It is. World Missions Day. I saw it on the computer. So we're right on target to be here in this place this morning with our focus beyond where we live, beyond our own circle of friends and everything like that. We've got a big vision out there to reach the world for Christ before this end of the age. We are coming to the close of the age, I believe, and I believe that God is stepping things up by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's moving throughout the earth. And we hear a lot of negative things on the news, but you know, God is at work. In the midst of all the chaos, God is at work. And I'm so happy about that, because it's not all over till God says it's over. Yes, hallelujah. So we have a ministry in India, and we are continuing with it. It's in New Zealand, and it's based also in Seattle, Kent, Washington. And I'm over here just to oversee and see what the Lord has for the future. So you could pray with me about that. We need to have things in place because none of us live forever. So God is saying to me that we need to set things in order. So he's on the throne of our lives if we believe and we walk by faith. I was quickened yesterday by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10 and verse 31, the story of Cornelius. Here he was, a man of God, devout and looking unto the Lord for his life, and he prayed a lot. And the scripture says that God heard his prayer, but God also saw his giving, that he was giving to the poor. And these things were known unto the Lord and preserved before God. So all of our giving is preserved. It's a knowledge of God. He knows about it. And what we ever sow, we will reap, whether it's in this life or in the life to come. Hallelujah. I believe in heaven. I believe in the life to come. I believe in Jesus. So God heard his prayer and tapped a man on the shoulder and said, you've got to be prepared for this man because he's going to come. And an angel appeared to Cornelius and said, arise and go to a house, a certain place, no GPS. You go there and you will find, you'll be told what to do. Because I've been hearing your prayers and I've been seeing your giving. Well, we all know that that was the beginning of the gospel, the precious gospel of Christ coming and going to the Gentiles, of which we are a part. So Cornelius, if it hadn't been for him and hadn't been for Peter's obedience, when he was praying up on the housetop, he saw a vision. And you know the story anyway. But it was just wonderful to me, afresh yesterday. I thought, well, if it hadn't been for the obedience of those two, none of us would be here worshiping Jesus today. And we wouldn't know the precious and marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. So hallelujah. We built this ministry on Isaiah 58:10. If you draw out your soul to the hungry, if you satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise as the morning. Your darkness will be as the noonday. Matthew 25, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That's what he said. So you've done it or you've not done it. And according to Derek Prince, it's not what we've done, it's what we've left undone. So there's a lot left to be fulfilled. But God is stepping up the program, hallelujah, using ordinary people like you and me to step up and give more and pray more and just be ready for the coming of the Lord. And the great harvest is out there, it's ripe, but the laborers are few. There's no substitute for God's way. People think, well, we could do this and now we could do that and do the other thing. We have to know what God says. And God's idea is a family, a worldwide family. That's God's idea, not our idea, God's idea. And he is the Father, and Jesus Christ is his only Son. He's the only way of salvation. So in Matthew 9:37-38, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. So I heard the call so many years ago. I think we've been going 31 years, and we went back into India. But it hadn't been for the help of Johnny, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But at the end of 22, we went, and we flew 6 times all around India with stringent security. Believe me, it was just after COVID's things lifted. So we went to the other sheep. Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of them this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There's only one family. I'm happy to know of what's happening here, bringing people together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. So God is on the throne. Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay him again what he has given. Wow, that's exciting, isn't it? That's wonderful. So yeah, I could talk a lot about missions, but we must have time for the word. But this is the word too. So we want to see these little videos. We've just got 8 minutes of short videos, and we've got others that are on YouTube. Or if you look up in Global New Life, spelt with a U, .org, then we've got others up there as well. And if you've got this little paper, it makes good Sunday afternoon reading. Praise the Lord. Wish I had more to share with you, but anyway, it's good. So thank you, Matthew, is it? Thank you. People for 30 years. village that we're reaching called Yanada. They live on the off the dump. Of food bags, 6 months of Christian music, and then we began to preach. And many of them have come to the Lord and been water baptized. Lepers are everywhere. Our ministry supports every 5 ministries, and every one of them has lepers to reach. There's a handmade carpentry in the wheelchairs in that area. Junie, Samuel John's son. This one is way down India in Tamil Nadu. Children. We already have a children's home, but now we've started for these dear ones. Jesus died for them too, and they're progressing under the leadership of father and son, Anbu and Ebi, and their families. This is Gobi near Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu.
Hello, I'm Pastor Johnny. From South India, Andhra Pradesh, Kakinada.
He's my spiritual son.
Talk to you through this video. I'm a pastor working among the fishermen and also in the unreached villages. We are happy to partner with Global New Life. We are so thankful for Dr. Nancy Dykes for her passion and vision towards India. Through her help, we are able to support many pastors, orphan children, plant churches, put Jesus wells and pure drinking water, help the lepers, and many other things in reaching the gospel. My call is for children, and we have reached thousands of children through VBS programs. I'm a puppeteerian. My wife is a good singer and do actions. We also hold kids clubs, and we train up teachers, especially we train teachers, and every year we reach near about 10,000 children by raising, by training 500 teachers how to lead a child to Christ, how to present a Bible lesson. So we are really privileged to have you people praying for us. also request you to pray for our ministries, especially we are looking forward to replace our ministry van for the children ministry. Please pray for that. You know about India, the crisis which we are facing to preach the gospel. We need your prayers. God bless you. Thank you all for watching our videos. Please pray for our ministries, Faith and Vision Ministries, Kakinada. We do pray for you. God bless you. We love you. Love from India.
Lovely family.
Hi, Nancy Auntie. Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Zion from Domada. I'm very fine.
Hi, Auntie. Praise the Lord. I am David.
Hi, Auntie. Praise the Lord. I am Nelson. Hey, Nelson.
Praise the Lord. I am Ambrose Rathma. Wonderful.
Hi, Auntie, praise the Lord. My name is Sudarshan Paul, Mamidada.
Hi, Auntie, praise the Lord. My name is David
Langston,
Sarpuvaram.
Hi,
Auntie, praise the Lord. I am Chandrapal Paina.
Hi, Auntie, praise the Lord. Pastor John Paul Madhavan.
Auntie,
Dandas.
Pavada.
I am 85 years.
I am 85 years old.
It's nice to talk to you once again. All the pastors are quite happy here. We had a wonderful prayer meeting and we prayed for you, for your journey. And God bless you.
Hi, Auntie.
My sister, Mary.
Mary.
Yeah, please pray for her. She's suffering from backache and...
Yeah. Thank you. There's one more. Okay, we just had one that said all we are doing, but that's all right. I think you've seen a little bit of what we do. We couldn't put it all on video or talk all about it, but it's grown very much over the years with people like you, just ordinary people like us, that have reached out with a vision and a heart. Johnny, that you just saw, gave his heart to Christ when I was first in India, 1981, I think. But anyway, he said, now, I gave my heart to Jesus, but I gave my life for ministry. And he has stayed true to that call. Johnny and Junie, those two young men that you saw, they are reaching this summer 6,000 children in retreats, and they have them all day, and we have to feed them, we have to transport them and all of that. So it costs money, but it's worth it. Parents and caregivers have actually said to Johnny, our children are different. What's your secret? Well, we know it. The secret is the Holy Spirit is touching these children and bringing them into a place of relationship with God, their own father. Hallelujah. So I have a little poem that I like, and I'll read it to you. When I was a child, time dragged, didn't it? Later on, time walked. Still later on, time ran. And then time flew. And one day, while traveling on, time will be gone. What will I have done for Christ by then? And that's the question I ask myself every day. What are you doing with your life? And I believe God wants us to seriously think about the need of the whole world and the crisis that we're in. And the answer, my friends, is Jesus. They need Jesus. How many knows the good old song that's charity sings, Jesus, we'll shout Jesus in the streets, we'll shout Jesus over our family, we'll shout Jesus everywhere, because Jesus makes the difference. But you have to see him and you have to know him, And how shall they hear know him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we're in the business of sharing the word of God in the far-off places, in the villages, in the streets, in the places where you saw there's no wheelchairs. They have to make those trolleys, as they call them. And we're doing it in these forgotten areas. But God has not forgotten them. And God is doing a great work amongst the people of India. There are 1.4 billion, I think. 1.4 billion, I might be wrong. But anyway, half of those people are children under the age of 18. So we feel if we meet the children, if we focus on the children, the Bible says the youth are like the dew of the morning. So anything you can do for children is a great future. And that's where my heart is. I started with the children with one orphan. And now at one point we had 7 children's homes. But we have to start somewhere. So one orphan became 7 children's homes. The seed that was planted in my heart. And I said when I first went to India, I'll never go back to this horrible place. It's dirty, it's hot, it's difficult. But the Lord had another idea. And as Pastor Ryan said, I said, well, I'll be a drop. The Lord said, would you be something for me in this place? And I said, but Lord, it would be a drop in an ocean. Wouldn't you rather be a drop than nothing? And so there on my hard bed in India, I said, yes, I will be that drop if you will be the provider and the guider and the director of this mission. So in 1993, we began this mission in New Zealand. 99, we began in Washington State. So the Lord is on the case, and he's doing great things in the earth, and I want to be part of it. How about you? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has put a word on my heart, and it's, I need this maybe a little closer. Yes. I want to talk about the life of overcoming. In this day and age, it will either be overcome or we will be an overcomer. So as for me, I want to seek the Lord every day to be an overcomer. There's so much to overcome. These are turbulent days. These are days when Matthew 24 and Luke 21 is being fulfilled. It says, watch and be on your watch because that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the world. Now, we've been through COVID. Johnny, that you saw, he lost 2 brothers-in-law with COVID. Both of his sisters had to bring to his house and keep them there for 3 months. One of them had 2 teenagers. And so we saw this tragedy coming upon the world. And somehow we've got through, but many have suffered. And it's not all over yet, because Jesus said, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he said that we were to stay close to him. And in the book of Revelation, there are 7 churches, and they all had a message from God. So I believe that every time we come to church, we get something from the Lord. We've got to take something home with us. It must be Jesus speaking to us. So Jesus was speaking to all these churches, and he said to every one of them a special message. And he said that they, he that hath an ear, or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So here this morning, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. And I've chosen just to talk about one of them, and it's the Church of Philadelphia. Many of them, five of the seven, had a correction from Jesus, a word almost of rebuke. But this church did not get one. Isn't that wonderful? It's called the Church of Brotherly Love. It's in Revelation 3, 7 to 12. I wondered if you could get it up, Matthew. It is up? Yes. Okay. So we'll take time to read it, shall we? And I'll just wait for that, because I can't see through the pulpit. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Is it finished yet? The Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. If we are a real Christian, we will have compassion and love for others. And I believe the Lord wants to baptize us afresh with his love. 1 Corinthians 13. And so the Lord was commending this church. The other church that got no rebuke is Smyrna, and that's the suffering church. And they're out there in the third world today, and all over the world, people are suffering for the name of Christ. They really are. And we are here all cushy here in wonderful America. I love America. I used to live here. I'm praying every day for the right family to land in the White House. And you should be praying too. And might I say, vote. Please vote. It's your democratic right and your privilege to vote. I can't vote, but you can. Because I was here as a resident, but not a citizen. And pray against the evil that is going on in this country and around the world, in our country too. Teenagers are out of control, and punishments are so light, or corrections, they call it, so light that people just get away with all this stuff going on. But I tell you, God is the judge. He is the one. So let's have a look at this chapter and just take it one by one. It's the Philadelphian church, the church of brotherly love. They kept his word. They did not deny his name. And they had a little strength. I feel like I've only got a little strength. I'm 86 years old. But I'm going to use that little strength for him. So here in our church this morning, you have a little strength. If maybe you feel you've got more than that. But at least I know that you've got a little strength. And you have not kept his word over these many years. And you have not denied his name. So God says, he's the one that gives power to the faint. Isaiah 40, 29 to 32. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Aren't you glad about that? God says somewhere in the Minor Prophets, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So he wants to give us more and more of his love, more of his Holy Spirit. He wants to baptize us afresh, and he wants to put a fire in our belly that will never die. He wants to stir our hearts. But it's up to us whether we respond to that call. I heard of a lady, and she's a wonderful lady, but I've not met her, but she's an American. I think she's from Colorado. She said to the Lord, please send me, maybe you know about her, but I think her name was Christine. She said, please send me where nobody else will go. What a prayer. Where nobody else will go. So over a period of time, God opened the Sudan, which is full of horror, barbarians, kidnappers, murderers of the worst kind. She landed in Sudan. They were traveling in a jeep in this rough area where anyone could come out and grab a hold of anybody and kill them or kidnap them, torture them, everything. So they're praying all the time in, I'm sure, in other tongues. Lord, protect us. Lord, protect us. Lord, protect us. But you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, stop praying for protection. I'm already protecting you. What you need is my love and my compassion for the people to whom I am sending you. So they pulled over in the jeep, and that was dangerous, and they started to pray. And they felt the heavens open, and they felt like a baptism of love came upon them. I don't know whether it was a vision or an audible voice, but it was real to them, her and her team. What a wonderful thing. You know, she went on to start little prayer huts. She just put a notice in their language, prayer hut. And it was very primitive. And today, there's churches that she's planted all over the Sudan. Started with one vision, Lord, send me. And that's what Isaiah said, didn't he? Here am I, send me. She answered the call to the toughest place, and God came through and baptized her with the love and compassion that was needed. Oh, hallelujah. That stirs my heart. And as far as I know, she's still going strong. So it says that even the youth shall faint. We're finding that young people are now, in our country, taking their own lives. It's very high, the suicide rate. And that's a very sad thing. Because they feel there's no hope. Because nobody's told them, apparently. They've taken the Bible out of the schools. We used to have that. It was only half an hour a week, but at least it was something. But now there's nothing. And it's a secular society. It used to be a Christian country. Now it's very secular. And lots of evil is going on. But we're not the only ones. It's happening all over the world. And Jesus said it would be like that. Men would be lovers of their own, and Paul said, lovers of their own selves. They'd be unthankful, unholy. And they would be turning against God. They would not want anything to do with him. And yet, Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Believe me, he is the hope of the world. And so even the youth shall faint. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we ask ourselves the question this morning, if they could overcome in the book of Acts tremendous challenges, huge problems, if they could overcome when they were beaten like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 and come out of it in great victory and salvation of the jailer himself, one of the jailers, and his whole household, well, if they could overcome in their day, I believe we can overcome all the challenges in our day. Can you say amen? You're very quiet this morning. You're scaring me. Anyway, praise the Lord. Weakness and weariness. In Daniel, it says Satan, in the last days, he'll be going around he's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what he's trying to do. Wear you out. And yet we got everything. So it must be something spiritual. It must be something of the powers of darkness that are trying to take over your life and mine. Doesn't matter what age, we're all in the same boat. We're all subject to the enemy of our soul coming against us. But the Bible says, pray always and stand firm and put on the armor of God, and you'll be able to make it through no matter what. I'm just excited that the Lord is at work in our lives. Daniel also says in Daniel 7, 18 and 27, that the saints of God are going to take the kingdom and possess it forevermore. Hallelujah. So he's doing these things. And 1 John 4 and 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're on the winning side. He's in you if you've invited him in. And if you haven't and you're here this morning, you can and you should, because you will have a great future. Jesus will be with you. He will never fail you. He's never failed me all these 86 years, and he's will do it for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we're living in the shadow of the coming of Christ. The things that are happening in our world are like the news behind the news. This Bible is true every time. And so what he's said in his word is coming to pass. He said, in the last days, at the end of the age, these things will happen. And we're seeing them happen. But he said, I'm praying for you, this is Paul, that your spirit, should be the strongest part of you. Sometimes our bodies do things we don't like. Like I'm not able to stand very long now. And all of us here have issues, but we can bring them to Jesus, and he helps us through. But the most important thing is our spirit and our soul, for they will live on in all eternity. So the outward man may perish, but the inward man is to be renewed by the Spirit day by day. So the challenge of our lives in these days is that our spirit will be strong, that we will rise up, the spirit man will rise up and be strong in this time of testing and trial. In India, there's more persecution than there's ever been. And I'm sad about that, because we used to be able to go there and evangelize and blast away with our big loudspeakers. People would be listening, even in the little, we'd see them looking out from their windows that just open, and they were receiving the gospel by the thousands. We were able to win many people for Christ with open air crusades and things like that. It was exciting. We went every year with a team of volunteers. And we missed this year, but in January, middle of January, we are sending six volunteers, and we are very happy that it's because we had to get a new leader and leadership and stuff like that. But they're going, and they're excited, and I went up to meet them, and I was impressed, especially with one of them. When he was 24, he was attacked by some terrible virus, they were living in the UK. A lot of New Zealanders go and live there and make money and come home. But there they were in the UK. He was a year in the hospital. He was paralyzed from the neck down. But with care and physiotherapy and everything, he got better. But all of him got movement, except he can't feel his feet. But when the announcement was made that they were looking for a team to go, he said, the Holy Spirit said, you go. And so Aaron is his name. He's now in his 50s, and they've had three beautiful children since then, since this tragedy. But he's going. And I admire him. I think, what a sacrifice. He'll be a lot of walking. But you see, God takes weak people. People with problems. People with heartaches. In fact, they're the ones often that God uses the most. Because they know that they're utterly and completely dependent on him. I ask you this morning, are you dependent upon Jesus? Because you're not going to make it through this hard times that are now and are coming up without the presence of Jesus in your life. So we need to draw closer to him. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, he is coming. I believe he's coming soon. But certain things are taking place that show us that it's near. We're in the shadow of the coming of Christ. 1 John 2:14, it says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, because the word of God abides within you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The church in Philadelphia overcame amid severe trial and testing. They didn't get one rebuke from Jesus. They just got praise. And they just knew that they could make it because they had a little strength. They had not denied his name. And they had kept the word of God. We must overcome the wicked one, and Jesus is our example in that. He overcame Satan in the wilderness by the word of the Lord. Caleb was another one. He wholly followed the Lord, and when he was getting older, he spoke to Joshua and he said, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And he was 85 years old. So praise the Lord. He had supernatural strength. He was a winner, and he took a mountain called by a Philistine name, and there were Philistines there, giants in the land, and he renamed the mountain, and he called it Hebron, and that means fellowship or inheritance. So when we come to Christ, our name is changed, as it were. In India, we call them they call each other believers. Here we say Christian. But we get a new name. Hallelujah. Acting and living like Christ. That's what a Christian is. Living as Jesus would live. Praise the Lord. I love this verse. It's in Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, and it may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There will be a judgment upon this world, believe me. But he's going to have a people that are hidden in Christ, hidden in the rock. Hallelujah. So we're to humble ourselves. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they shall inherit the earth. Thank you, Lord. But I like this bit. It may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Some people believe that the bride will be in a physical wilderness place. I'm not so sure. I think we will be in the midst of trouble, but God will preserve his bride and keep his bride. You can believe what you want and what you're taught here. But I do believe that God has got a plan for his church in these last days to preserve and to keep them as a light and as a witness to a dying world. So what did God say to the church at Philadelphia? He said, I will, if you will, because you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. And he said, I set before you an open door that no man can shut. Our brothers in India are working, even though doors are closing, but they've just changed their strategy. And that's what we've got to do. Just get the orders from above. How to do it. God's still got a plan. His plan is a worldwide family. That's his plan. He said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the world. Psalms 91, Zephaniah 2 and 3. Behold, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. So here in America and in the West, we have an open door, an opportunity, second to none, through the media, electronics. I know it's being used for bad, but it can also be used wonderfully for good. So we're living in a time and a season where we have such opportunity, and we must take every opportunity. The open door, I've always gone by the open door. Because of my physical handicap and troubles, I thought I could not come to America. But the Lord kept speaking to me, it was time to go. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me a witness, because I'm not going there if you're not with me. You know, like Moses said, unless your presence goes with me, don't carry me there. I'm not going. And bang, 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 he confirmed to me that he said, blessed shalt thou be when you go in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And that came through three people almost so quickly, as well as to my own heart, plus other confirmations. So God says, I will lead you by my Spirit. And I love Romans 8. It says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God is going to do a new thing. And he's already started with the youth and the universities here in America. I'm so happy about that. I watch these things all the time through Christian World News and all of those things. We get it all down in New Zealand. And I just believe that this revival is going to spread everywhere, and especially with the youth. So we're stepping up our plan and our strategy for the youth in India. I will make you for the open door. We've got the open door still, even though it's difficult and there's persecution. But still, we can preach in the villages, but we have to be indoors. We can't do it like we did before. But God is still moving and winning many souls for Christ. I will make you a pillar, there's pillars in this building, and it holds the building up. So you are needed to be a pillar in this place to shine for Jesus Christ. Don't think you're not important. You are very important in the program of God. God has a plan for you. But every believer must have a heart, I believe, to fulfill the Great Commission. And I will write upon him my new name. What a privilege to be named by the name of Christ. There's a song that goes, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So that's my challenge to you this morning, to press into God, to do the work of God, to love him with heart and soul and mind and strength. And even if you feel inadequate, you feel like you've got a little strength, just remember this message this morning. He says, you've got a little strength, and I'm going to use you in a mighty and powerful way. So every one of us here need a baptism of love. This is called the Church of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. You've got a place in America called Philadelphia. So it comes from the Bible. And so God wants us to have that baptism of love. And so every day we must not be part of any discord. God hates discord among brethren. That's what he says. One of the six things he hates, discord. And in our own family, that it was almost the perfect family in Canada. Sad to say, it just took one person to sow discord and it just spread. And now they're still not, and they went to law, suing, if you please. The Bible says not to do that against your brother or your sister. So it can happen to a Christian family. And I know it by personal experience, but I don't believe it's going to stop there. I believe they're going to come through in great triumph, in great victory. In fact, I was at a hymn sing that they did themselves, and it was so wonderful. They sang all the old-time songs, and my sister's a wonderful pianist. And there was a man there dying of pancreatic cancer, and he had come to say goodbye to his Canadian relatives and friends. And he is a marvelous trumpet player, and he blew that trumpet with every bit of strength that he had. And it was an amazing 1.5 hours of hymn sing, and the crowd just loved every minute of it. And I believe because of his weakness, it affected him. But it was his last great triumph and victory, and they sang When the Saints Go Marching In and all those songs, and he's blowing on the trumpet. You see, we triumph in Christ whether we live or whether we die. And all of us will face our Maker. We will face the judgment. We will face what we have done in our body. So let us take this to heart this morning and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God bless you. Hallelujah.